You know what? We need a French work started in this church. We do. We need to have some type of French Bible study or something, because here we are in Lower Town, and we got a lot of people coming that are French, and I don't feel we're servicing them right. So at least pray about that. We've started really seriously praying about that on Tuesday nights, okay? Father, take over now, please. You know how goofy I can be, God, and sometimes that's good, and sometimes you use that, and sometimes it's just annoying. So, Lord, just take over, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I got a title there, and I talk a lot about purpose, you know. Probably the greatest selling book, I know the biggest selling religious book of the 21st century is Purpose-Driven Life. And if you bring in the 20th century, it's in the top five. How many of you have ever read Purpose-Driven Life? Good book, isn't it? Okay? And I've led Bible studies where I'd recommend that to anybody. And Rick Warren is the pastor of a big mega church in California. And he's really conducted himself in a Christ-like way. I think he has. Because there's a lot of pastors and big name, like preacher guys that make me go like this sometimes. And Rick Warren's never made me go like this, okay? And he's gone through some really, really tough stuff. And some of the best stuff he's written and some of the best sermons he's preached was when his son committed suicide and when his wife went through breast cancer. And man, you go through times like that and God does things in people's lives if they're yielded to him and that he can't do any other way. So I really, really appreciate him. And I'm glad he wrote that book because purpose is powerful. You know, you can have nothing, but if you know you got purpose and you know where you're going, it's powerful. You can be wealthy and have no sense of purpose. Hey, pick your rock star, pick your athlete. Perfect example right there, okay? I want to win the game. Well, that's great. You know, what are you going to do when you get hurt? You know, and all these people that, you know, think that that's the greatest thing in the world. If you don't have a sense of purpose, and it can't be just a sense of purpose. It's got to be a good purpose. Well, I got a friend, I won't mention his name because he's dead now, and he was one of my best buddies. And I remember when he was talking to me, he was about 25 years old, and he said, my purpose in life, I want to own a Rolls Royce. And I love the guy, you know, and I trust he's in heaven because we had some great talks. And he did end up getting his Rolls Royce and kept it for about a year. And died way too young. Couldn't kick the alcohol. But man, if that, like, your purpose is to own a Rolls Royce, you know? So when we say purpose-driven life, that, and I know why Rick Warren chose that title, because he wanted widespread appeal. He wanted to talk to people about their purpose. But it can't be just living for a purpose. Well, as long as you got a purpose, it's got to be a good purpose, okay? If it's not a good purpose, you're not going to be contented. You're pretty much lost if you don't have the right purpose, okay? Now, I've flogged this verse, okay? I know you've seen it before, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him and be called according to his purpose. And then we know what the purpose is. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That's our purpose, okay? To be conformed to the image of his son, to be Christ-like. That's not all there is. If that was all there was, that'd be okay. Because some of us, you know, you're already tasting the benefits of what it means to be Christ-like. You're already reaping the benefits of putting the self down and doing the Christ-like thing. You know, you've stepped into that realm, okay? You know, you've been convinced in your heart. In fact, you don't even have to hear me say it in this message. You already know. Yeah, that's a good purpose. And if that's all there was, you know, that would probably be enough, but there's more, okay? And if you go deeper in the Word, what was God's purpose for us, okay? Well, you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, okay? He wanted to have fellowship with us. He wanted to be in relationship with us. He created a being that was the only being in the universe that was like him, could reject him. He wanted to experience love from a creation that was as willful as he was, because he knows love coming from somebody who chooses to love, that's real love. He wanted to be in fellowship with us. So here it is in Genesis. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may, look at that, so they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky, over the livestock and the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number. Catholics and the Mormons got that down pat. I'm telling you, man, okay? Be fruitful and increase in more number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Now, the green movement, interesting enough, have taken this Greek, this Hebrew word for subdue, and they said, well, we got to be caretakers of the planet because God said be caretakers of the planet. That's not what it means. Okay? They've changed the meaning. It literally means rule, have dominion over it. Okay? Conquer it. Hey, I didn't write this. I'm just telling you. Okay? And the Bible says have nothing to do with darkness, but rather expose it. That's what the true word is. Rule over it. Okay? Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds of the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Okay? So, you get a couple of our purposes here. We got a purpose here to be in, first of all, Christ-like. That's New Testament. Okay? But if you're Christ-like, remember, he's king. Okay? I want to be Christ-like. You don't just like, and I'll get to the balance of it, of how we live and reign and rule, okay? But it's not just in fellowship with Christ. It's not just a purpose. His purpose for us is to rule, to have authority, okay? It was always been God's intention for us to rule. Under him, of course, but nevertheless, rule with him. In fact, that's our eternal destiny, is to rule with him. In fact, this life is simply a testing ground for how's Julian gonna rule for the rest of eternity? How's Ken gonna rule? Where am I gonna slot them? What am I gonna give them authority over? That's what's going on in this life right now. Do you not know? Look what it says in the Word. Do you not know that we will judge angels? How much more the things of life? Revelation 20 and 6. Blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. The second, death has no power over them. But they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Okay? We're going to reign with him. Look at 2 Timothy. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Okay? There's a beautiful verse about the grace of God, and yet it's his desire that we reign with him. It's, now listen, let's bring it down home. I don't want to leave it out in the closet. Wow, we're running with Jesus, let's go to heaven. Okay, you know? So Christians, so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. Okay? Now, that's what the religious world is. If you really know Christ, and you have a real growing productive relationship with him, you're more earthly good than you can ever be. Okay? You start changing the world around you. Okay? But there's some people that, you know, they think that like following God is just showing up on Sunday morning, and that's part of it. But boy, if that's all there is, you're getting shortchanged. You really are. Okay? It's not God's will that you just be part of a church, okay, or a team. We're being tested. We're being tried. We're being educated. We're being trained. We're being pruned for leadership, because we're going to rule. Luke 12:25, Jesus said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them. Okay? Everybody hears that word rulership and lordship, and you know what the initial connotation is. And right away, Jesus says, not like that. Okay? We live in a culture because, you know, it's democracy. You know how cynical people are to politicians and leaders. Okay? They hear about leaders and they roll their eyes no matter what the party is. Okay? Jesus right away says the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them. Not like that. He makes a distinction right away. We're not talking about that type of authority here. Okay? And those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials. And I confer on you, look at this, I confer on you a kingdom. He says all this stuff about the kingdom of God is within you. Thank you, Farouz, you're wonderful. God's going to honor you for that. Okay? I confer on you a kingdom. He talks about the kingdom of God being within us. And you know, we come together, we're part of the kingdom of God. Look what he says. I'm giving you a kingdom. I'm going to give you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one to me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That's his will for his followers, for those that are not satisfied with just being Christians saved by grace. We are destined to rule, okay? He wants to give us authority. That's what the ultimate's going to be, okay? Why is it that so many of us are thermometers instead of thermostats? I've used this illustration before. I don't think I had a cool slide like this before, though, so I figured I'd do it again because I found this on the internet, okay? They look kind of the same. The difference is this one, no matter how hot it is or cold, it goes up and down, whatever the situation is. This one, you know, it literally controls the atmosphere. How does it do that? Because you can't see that this thing is hooked into a whole system of wires and pipes and sensors and everything. And we may look like this on the outside, but if we're following Christ and he is immersed in us and we are connected to him, we're hooked up to a whole network of spiritual authority and power. We're literally it is his will to be the light of the world. What's the light of the world? You walk in and it's not dark anymore. Okay? To be warmth where there's coldness. To be a cup of cold water when the pastor's dying on his throat here, okay? I mean, Farouz, where's Farouz? She just controlled the environment by doing that, okay? She allowed me to continue here, okay? She's not a thermometer here. Well, we'll see what happens. John Stark today, because you know, his voice is terrible. No, I'm going to control the environment. I'm going to do something. Why? She's connected. Connect. That guy needs water. What's wrong with the rest of you? How come Farouz beat you to? Way to go, Farouz. Give Farouz a hand right now. That's wonderful. My goodness. Authority. Now she's taking a bow. Oh, God. Anyway. I got to preach more. Got to pray harder. Authority is bought. Authority is given out by God through servanthood. There's no other way. There's no promotions. There's no, well, I guess they were in the right place at the right time. Mm-mm. It doesn't come any other way, okay? That's why Hebrews says we do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Oh, two dirty words right there. Faith and patience, okay? I mean, you read that and you think, well, I hope that's for everybody else. But there's no shortcuts. I told you once about, I saw a Christian version of the Game of Life. You know, they're always coming out with these Christian versions of games, okay? Like Christian Monopoly, Christian Scrabble, you know? Christian video games, kill the devil, you know? They got Christian, you know? Anyway, they had this Christian Game of Life with the spinner and everything, and there was a shortcut. And if you spin a spinner on the Game of Life, I always liked the Game of Life because it had 10 things on the wheel. And like that was unique, you know, 2 dice, 12, 6, you know, whatever. And you spin the thing, it's like Wheel of Fortune in your rec room, okay? And you could only spin the wheel once and you had to be at the right place to take a shortcut through life and end up in heaven, okay? It doesn't mean you die, you just do whatever. You just do the success and contentment and full life in Christ. And it was 11 spaces to get there. In other words, it was impossible, okay, to take any shortcuts. Authority is the same way. Authority only comes through servanthood. There are no shortcuts. It says they inherit what has been promised. What's been promised? What's our inheritance? Our inheritance is authority. Our inheritance is rulership. And I was going to put this verse out there at the beginning, and I didn't want to call it destined to rule. That sounds really churchy. You know what? I went on the internet looking for a slide, the destined to rule. Oh, my goodness. Everybody and his brother's got a book. Destined for the throne, destined to reign, destined to rule. Like, there's 50 books, okay? Everybody writes about it. Everybody has got a version. So that's why I didn't like the title today, because it's so common. It's so churchy. But Carol and I, remember we had the conversation, Carol? Carol, we're driving home after a prayer meeting, okay? I was driving her home, and we got talking about this verse. And boy, God started hitting me. I wanted to base the whole thing on this verse right here. Diligent hands will rule. Diligent hands, it's not only success, it's not only they will rule, you know? Kind of got the kind of connotation, you know, when a kid is really excited. Hey, how was the movie? Oh, I ruled, man. Like they say that, okay? They don't know what they're talking about, okay? Diligent hands will rule. They'll not just be accomplished. They won't just be a productive. They won't just be in the will of God. They rule. They rule. Diligent hands will rule. But laziness ends in forced labor. What's forced labor? Look at me. I'm doing what I don't want to do. Okay? Now, the rural thing, nice to be thinking about that. Oh yeah, wow, that'd be nice, okay? But that's the word I got to get a handle on. That's the word for today, okay? You want to take notes, big words, capitals, exclamation point, boldface, underline, italics, do what you got to do. Diligence in prayer. I got to confess something to you. Oh, your sneaky pastor's been up to something. Got to confess. Let me tell you a story. When we lived next to the church in St. Catharines, we lived in a parsonage, and I was youth pastoring there from 85 to 90. And I made prayer appointments with guys. I said, I'm going to be praying in the church every night at 10 o'clock to 11. You want to join me? Join me. And I made prayer appointments. It's a big church, so I could go after guys. Pastors love guilting you into prayer. They don't feel any shame doing that because you ought to be praying anyway, okay? Like, say, hey, you want to pray with me? Well, yeah. So they'd show up, okay? And I had my calendar, but there was a different guy there. Some nights it was four or five guys. It was great, okay? And I was there. They would pray with me from 10 to 11 every night. I had the keys to the church. You know, we didn't have alarms back then. You know, to shut the door. No, you're gone, okay? And then when we moved to Greeley, we were living next to church then, I said, I'm going to do this again. I'll be at the church every night, 10 o'clock, okay? And I made prayer appointments. And they thought I was some spiritual guy, you know? Whoa, he's praying. He's really serious about prayer, okay? They didn't know, okay? They didn't know that I avoid prayer as much as anybody does. But if I made an appointment with somebody, I had to show up. If I made myself accountable, I had to show up whether I felt like it or not, okay? I'm sicker than a dog, you know. My hockey team's in the third period in the playoffs. Like, it's every night, you know? We didn't tape everything back then. There was actually good TV back then, okay? I mean, wrestling was on sometimes, you know, and it was fun back then, okay? Gotta go, because Harry Ledwiz is going to be there tonight. Ken Ledwiz is going to be there tomorrow night. Jack Schultz is going to be there tonight. Gort Keller's going to be there that night. And in Greeley, you know, Sam Lang's going to be there. Bruce Waddell's going to be there. I thought you were going to confess something. It didn't sound like a confession. Okay, here comes a confession. Pat, it's right here in the bulletin. Where's the bulletin here? Okay. Where is it here? Pastor John, prayer walks the neighborhood. Most Saturdays at 10 a.m. Talk to him for details. Okay? Well, that's good. You want to get us praying? No. I put it in the bulletin. Why? Because if it's in the bulletin, I got to show up. I can't skip. Okay? You don't have to because it doesn't have your name. Okay? If you want to join me, that's fine. You're going to be praying on your own anyway because, I mean, we just kind of meet after Carol shows up. I'm sorry, Carol. I blew the blessing for you. I'm sorry. Anyway, there are some people that show up. Okay? But I do that because I need that. I need to be accountable. I need to be diligent, okay? I need to show up. And it's not a bad thing to put yourself maybe in a more uncomfortable thing just for this. I know my weaknesses. I know how lazy I am. I know how easily distracted I can get. Do you know how lazy you are? Do you know your weaknesses, okay? And I don't want to be, let's put that scripture back up here, okay? We'll go back a little bit. I don't want to be robbed, okay? I don't want to be robbed of what is mine here, okay? We do not want you to become lazy. And it was like, you know, if you don't do that, you're robbed of what's intended for me. Okay? Hopefully you'll forgive me for maybe misleading you a little bit that way. I didn't mean to make it tougher for you. Okay? Now, there's another word I'm going to put up here. And this happens in church life a lot. And you all know the word, but I want to talk about it. Diligence. In fact, you can forget the next word because diligence is just, that's the word. God, make that word and make it come alive in our lives. Help it show us how powerful that can be, God. But here's another word you already know, and it's this word, okay? Now, in church life, often, now I must say, less in this church than any church I've ever been a part of, okay? But there's always people who want to help out. There's always people who want to pitch in. You need any help? Hey, can I help you with that? You know, there's not many people that want to be responsible. I'll make sure it gets done. I'll make sure I'll be the last guy there to make sure it happens. I will take over that department. I will, you know, and that's really what's needed. Okay. We're always thankful for help. And this is amazing church that way. It really is. Okay. But diligence realizes that it's not always going to go as smooth as you think it is. There's going to be frustrations. It's going to cost you, okay? But responsibility doesn't shirk. Responsibility is, no, I made a commitment. It's like marriage, you know? Hey, I'm hanging in there. And this is for life. Come hell or high water or God forbid she turns into a Leaf fan. I'm going to commit my way to, you know, this. That's not Heather, by the way. I'm just using that as an example, okay? Now, here's another term I want to throw at you that we don't think much of. King of Kings. Oh, you got every Christmas. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh. Now, I want to put a spin on this that you maybe haven't thought of, okay? Now, what's a translation for that? I mean, you think king is a common word, okay? Rulers of the earth. That's what kings are, okay? Now, let me go further than this. Remember, it's an eternal destiny. He's called King of Kings. Who are these kings? It's us. It's us. Eternally, that's who he's talking about. He's our king, but he's the King of Kings. It's not his will that, you know, we just squeak by and I finally get my Dodge Challenger and a big, my own arena and baseball and golf course and all this stupid stuff that people think heaven's going to be, okay? It's not going to be that way. If it was all that, you'd be bored out of your mind. Have you talked to people that retire and they got nothing to do? There's people that die when they retire because they're so bored out of their minds. They worked hard, and then they got nothing to do. They just walk around like this all day, you know? Oh yeah, bingo Tuesday night. You know, okay? Heaven's not going to be like that. He says we're going to rule. We're going to have responsibility. Okay? You talk to somebody then there's other people who love their job, and when it comes to retirement, it's like if you've shot them. You know, they don't want, no, you know, and if they wrangle away, they're going to try and, you know, keep going in some other capacity because they love what they do. Well, try to imagine all of eternity doing what you've always wanted to do, but you're going to be busy and you're going to be responsible. And this is something that by his spirit, we got to say, God, help me to be diligent. However that translates in your life. It means showing up. It means being a person of your word. It means, man, you'd rather die than let somebody down. Now, the devil will beat you up about this. Okay, he will. You know, you're never enough for anybody, but you walk close enough to the Lord, God will sort that out. Okay, he'll give you wisdom on that. You're going to be king. Well, you women, you queens, you know, not the same, you know. Close your eyes. Father. Father, it's a simple word. It wasn't 3 points. Lord, there was, and it wasn't just the fruit of my imagination, God, because it's all in your word. And Lord, I can be way more diligent than I am, God. And Lord, maybe I spoke this today because, God, I'm failing in this. Really failing. God. But Lord, you put me in a church family. And you know who the people are, God, in this church, God. They love me enough and they know me enough and they know I even struggle with this. So they kick my butt, God, and I'd be dead without them, Lord. Lord, I pray, God, Lord, you're wanting to bring us to diligence like this. And there's some people that are coming to our mind right now that we get frustrated with. But God, you've specifically put those people in our lives because you have destined us, Lord God, to rule and to reign and to be good rulers. To not lord it over people, Lord. Lord, whoever or whatever we're going to be ruling over, they're going to love us and they're going to delight in us because we rule like Jesus does. God, God, now Holy Spirit, take God. Take, Lord, what I've said, Lord. Take, Lord, what you've done in our lives and make it come alive in the only way that you can. Nobody looking around, eh? Nobody looking around. Please keep your eyes closed. If there's anybody here this morning that does know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've never accepted him in your life as Lord and Savior. You may have gone to church all your life, but you've never surrendered your life to Christ and you've prayed a prayer of asking him to forgive you of your sins and to come in and be Lord of your life. If you've never done that before, man, that's more important to us than anything. And we give that invitation just about every Sunday morning. And if I don't, it's because I'm forgetful, okay? And I don't like being forgetful. And if that's you, and I'm not going to center you out, you're not going to be embarrassed, okay? Bible says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. Well, here's a man looking right now, and I can see. So you're confessing before me here. And even the word says, confess your faults one to another that you might be healed, okay? If that's you, put your hand up right now and put it right back down again. And I'll seek you out. I'll make sure you and I have a time of prayer before we leave this room today, okay? Hand right up and right down real quick, okay? Before we go over to JM and clean up the place and watch God do great things with us today. God, thank you, Lord. You led everybody here this morning. And God, your word this morning is gonna take on a different life with all of us, Lord. But God, I expect, God, that we're gonna see results, Lord, in our lives as we yield, as we follow you, as we devour your word. God, as we're diligent, God. If we're diligent in prayer, diligent in the word, diligent in just showing up, diligent in being obedient to you, Lord God. Lord, your yoke is easy. Your burden is light, Lord God. Your word says, come to me, all you, Lord, that are carrying a heavy load, and I'm going to give you rest. God, show us the rest that comes through the diligence you called us to, God, for what is coming in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.